Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. St. Louis, I haven't heard that in a while. But I'm glad to have the opportunity to talk to everyone today. So my presentation is Associations of Adult Social Support and Depression with Risk of Suicide Attempt in High School Students, Hawaii YRBS 2013. So I guess first, just the impetus behind this study was we also wanted to look at the protective factors that were available in the YRBS. Youth risk behavior, it's whenever people think of the survey, they want to look at the risk behaviors. But we do have a good amount of information we've been collecting for some time about the positive behaviors. So that's kind of what I want to do with this analysis. And I want to look at suicide because it is a major public health issue, especially for adolescents. So in the U.S., it's the second leading cause of death for the 10 to 24 age group. And similarly in Hawaii, it's the second leading cause of death for 15 to 24 age group. So some of the most important risk factors for adolescent suicide are a previous suicide attempt, unmanageable emotional distress, depression and other mental health disorders, access to firearms, family history of suicide attempt, or psychiatric diagnosis, and gender. In particular, males are more likely to die by suicide, but females are more likely to attempt suicide. It's a paradox that I've been aware of for a while, and sexual orientation, as you just mentioned. So depression is one of the most consistently identified risk factors for suicidal ideation and behavior. And it's really hard to calculate a good population-based prevalence of depression, for a number of reasons, but largely because of the surveys that we use to collect this information. You're not going to have the time and the space to include 20-plus questions that may be required for a sort of a clinical diagnosis in some of these screening tools we have. So we're often looking at one symptom or aspect of depression as a proxy. So here I just have some numbers listed that they talk about different things. But so 7% of adolescents 12 to 17 ever received a diagnosis of depression. That's National Survey of Children's Health. About 8% had a major depressive episode in the last 12 months, National Survey of Drug Use and Health. And just under 7% reported current depression in the last 2 weeks from NHANES. And then social support, we can broadly define that as interpersonal resources, which involve either the presence or implication of stable relationships. There's other ways we can define this, but in adolescent research, it's commonly divided up into these categories. Social support from peers, from family members, particularly parents, from other adults, teachers, mentors, coaches, counselors, and then from the community at large. But there is a limited body of research on how these different types of support sort of affect mental health and suicidal behaviors. So which one is the most critical type of support? Does this vary by different subgroups of students? How do they reinforce each other? There's a lot of questions that need to be answered in this area. So we wanted to look at adult social support in the school and outside of the school. This will become clear when I show you the questions that this came from. But we wanted to ask, does social support moderate or buffer the relationship between depression and attempted suicide? And if not, if it does not moderate that relationship, just what is the relationship between social support and attempted suicide? So I'm talking about the Hawaii Youth Risk Behavior Survey. I won't go into it super in-depth, but it's part of the larger Youth Risk Behavior Surveillance System nationally. And here are the priority areas that it collects information on, if you're not familiar. Unintentional injury and violence, sexual behaviors, tobacco use, alcohol and other drug use, unhealthy dietary behaviors, and physical inactivity. So we use data from 2013 from high school students only. Hawaii does conduct a middle school YRBS, but we didn't include it in this analysis. So to get into the variables themselves, attempted suicide, it's during the past 12 months, how many times did you actually attempt suicide? The options are 0 times, 1 time, 2 or 3, 4 or 5, or 6 or more times. And we dichotomize this to be 1 or more times versus 0 times. To assess depressive symptoms, during the past 12 months, did you ever feel so sad or hopeless almost every day for 2 weeks or more in a row that you stopped doing some usual activities, yes or no? Okay, so social support. Is there at least one teacher or other adult in this school that you can talk to if you have a problem? And then outside of school, is there an adult you can talk to about things that are important to you? For both of these, we said we dichotomized yes versus no and not sure together. We also looked at sexual orientation, which of the following best describes you, and we dichotomized it to be heterosexual versus gay, lesbian, bisexual, and unsure. And then you can see the race groups we have from the survey. Hawaii is a very racially and ethnically diverse state, and this will be borne out in our demographic characteristics I show you in a minute. So we calculated descriptive statistics and conducted log binomial regression modeling. So again, the first step was we assessed, is there an interaction between depression and adult social support, separately for each of the social support questions. If there was interaction, we calculated simple main effects for depression within each level of social support. If there was no interaction, we just calculated main effects, and we had sex, race, and sexual orientation as predictors in the models. The results were weighted to account for the methodology of YRBS, and we used SAS and SAS Callable Sudan. So here are the demographic characteristics of our sample. Almost 11% reported at least one suicide attempt in the past 12 months. Just about 30% reported depression. 68% reported social support at school. And about 77% reported social support outside of school. The largest race groups we have are Filipino, Native Hawaiian, white, and Japanese students. A fairly high prevalence of multiple race students is notable as well. About 50-50 female to male ratio, and then about 10% of students identified as sexual minority or unsure. So if we break down the prevalence of attempted suicide by these characteristics, about 23% of those with depression reported at least one suicide attempt versus 4.5% of those without depression. About between 8 and 9% of those with the two types of social support reported at least one attempt, whereas those without support reported about 14 to 15% attempted suicide. The race groups with the highest prevalence of attempted suicide are Native Hawaiian, other Pacific Islander, and Hispanic Latino students. Females have a higher prevalence of attempted suicide, which we expected, and then about 32% of sexual minority students attempted suicide versus just 8% heterosexual. Okay, so getting into the models, let's start with social support in the school. So we did find a significant interaction with depression. So we included the interaction term in our model and calculated simple main effects. So here I'm showing the effect of depression within each level of social support. So what this says is, among those students with adult social support in school, those who were depressed had 3.7 times greater odds of a suicide attempt compared to those who were not depressed. Among those students who did not have adult social support in school, those who were depressed had 10 times greater odds of suicide attempt compared to those who were not depressed. Continuing with the results of the same model, you can see the race results here. So the students with the most increased odds were Native Hawaiian and other Pacific Islander students, although most of these groups had elevated risk compared to white students. And then for our sexual minority students, almost four times greater odds of at least one suicide attempt compared to heterosexual students. Okay, on to support outside of school. We did not find a significant interaction with depression, so we just included them as predictors in our models and calculated main effects. So starting with depression, students with depression had five times greater odds of at least one attempted suicide compared to those students who were not depressed. And those students with social support outside of school had 40% reduced odds of a suicide attempt. And then the results for race, sex, and sexual orientation are comparable to the previous model. So for our conclusions, it looks like adult social support in the school may modify the association between depression and suicide attempt among high school students, and support outside of school may reduce the risk of suicide attempt. Our Native Hawaiian, other Pacific Islander, and Hispanic adolescents, as well as sexual minority youth, were at higher risk of attempts. So just some limitations. There are quite a few limitations for this this analysis, but first of all, it's cross-sectional data, so we can't determine causality. Data are self-reported, and so they're subject to reporting bias. In particular, with these sensitive topics, you can understand why some youth are not comfortable disclosing the true information. We really only address one aspect or symptom of depression, and that's just the nature of the survey, but there are other things that would go into a clinical diagnosis of depression that we weren't able to cover here. The social support questions don't explicitly ask about help-seeking behaviors, and help-seeking is a critical component of looking at support between adults and adolescents. The question just asks, is there an adult at school or outside of school that you could talk to for a problem? And then in Hawaii, private and charter school students don't take the YRBS, so this is not representative of about 20% of the students in our state. For implications, increasing opportunities for adult social support may improve mental health and decrease the risk of suicide attempt. Generally, these results fit with the gatekeeper approach to prevention and intervention activities in the school. So the gatekeeper approach is where adults are educated on the signs and symptoms of suicidal behavior and ideation, depression, and then trained to be responsive and engaged with youth that may be having issues. But really, it's still relying on the youth to come to them with problems for the most part. So the fact that these questions just asked, do you have an adult that you could talk to with a problem, it fits with the current approach. But more research is needed to determine what exactly does prepare adults to be effective in this role. The gatekeeper models really do increase self-efficacy and the feelings of the teachers to be able to make a difference, but it's still early. It's too early to tell exactly what the best approach is. And we need to look at subgroups in particular. So LGBT students or different racial groups, if we want to think about even variables we didn't include in the study, such as substance users, they're going to experience depression differently and have different patterns of behavior. They're going to have different home life. They're going to have different way they interact with adults, different way they interact with their peers. Even males versus females, there's research looking at they don't have the same preferences as far as what the curriculum that's presented to them is going to look like. So it's different for every student, and also all these types of social support are going to need to be integrated into future research. So we weren't able to look at how they all come together, how peer support may affect adult support, and so on. So thank you, and I'm happy to take any questions.
As well as addictive and abusive substances like alcohol and tobacco. And it was a huge survey, like 50,000 students in grades 8, 10, and 12. And a big questionnaire, so she was able to develop scales for peer support, family support, school support, and community support, independent scales. And what she found was that for depression, family support was protected. Positive family environment was protected, but schools and peers really weren't. But for addictive and abusive substances like tobacco and alcohol, it was the opposite. It was school and peer support, which was protective, and not so much family. And other findings she had were that all those positive social environments were more protective at the early adolescence than the later adolescence when they sort of found their way more, I guess. There were differences by sex as well, but it was really solid research and it's quite interesting. I think she's still trying to publish it. She was rejected by the first journal she wanted, and she was so upset about that. She had lost some motivation, I think. But anyway, if you're interested, I can give you her contact
information. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd definitely be interested.
Fascinating research.
And I mean, I think part of the reason for that you said the younger students were more receptive, part of the the difficulties with suicide prevention activities in the school is that older students are more aware of stigma associated with either if they're LGBT student, or there's stigma with associated with getting help from an adult. It's a sign of weakness, or you're admitting that you're a burden, or, you know, it's as students get older, there's a lot more of those things that are going on. So. All right, thank you.